Do any of you aspire to be a saint? Do any of you expect the Vatican to come knocking on your door any day now and start the canonization process, even while you're still alive? So you want to be a saint, do you? A real live, honest to goodness saint. Just like those men and women you see in all those religious paintings and statues, golden halo floating over your head, pure white robe, hands, of course, very carefully folded, right? You've got to practice that just right. Eyes kind of looking up to heaven. You know that loving, holy look on your face? So you want to be a saint. I mean, yeah, we can almost picture ourselves in that role, right? We have no problem picturing ourselves as saints. At least, maybe on a really good day, it might seem almost barely, kind of, sort of, a little bit possible. There's a story floating around about two brothers who lived in a small town somewhere where they were involved in corruption, deceit, and every possible manner of vice that you could think of. And it was rumored that they were even associated with a big crime family out in New York City. Well, whatever the case, both brothers were very wealthy, even if it was by dishonest means. And there was little sadness in the town when the older brother died. But his younger brother, wanting to honor his older brother, went all out in planning the funeral. The problem was finding a minister who was willing to do the service, given the fact that neither of them had ever graced the steps of a church, and they were as rotten as two guys could possibly be. Well, hearing that one of the local churches was in desperate need of a new roof, but that the congregation was too poor to afford it, the younger brother called upon the minister, hoping to catch him when he was most vulnerable and get him to do the funeral. Why do these things never happen to me? Anyway, Reverend, he said, I know my brother and I never attended your church. As a matter of fact, we never attended any church. I also know that you've probably heard a lot of things about me and my brother, but I'd like you to do my brother's funeral. And if you'll say he was a saint, I'll write you a check for $50,000. That should take care of fixing the roof. Well, after some thought, the pastor agreed to do the service. But he had a condition. The $50,000 had to be paid in advance. Pretty smart pastor, no? On the day of the funeral, the church was packed to the rafters. Curiosity brought people out in hordes. They certainly weren't there to honor the older brother, but instead they wanted to see what the minister would actually say. And the remainder of the crowd was made up of mobsters and the usual women that the brothers associated with. Well, the service began with the usual scriptures and hymns and prayers, you know, funerals. And then the homily began. The minister began slowly, but then step by step launched into a litany of the horrible things that this man had done, how he had been selfish and greedy and corrupt, that he cared about no one but himself, that all he did was carouse and booze and on and on. Well, the younger brother sitting right there in the front pew was getting pretty hot under the collar about how the minister was not fulfilling his promise. But during the service, there was nothing he could do. He could only wait and hope that the minister would keep up his end of the bargain. Finally, after about 10 minutes of outlining this man's flaws, the minister concluded his sermon by saying, "Yes, my friends, this man was a no-good, dirty, rotten scoundrel. But compared to his brother, he was a saint." Let's face it, none of us is ever going to live up to the requirements of being a saint, at least not the kind of saint whose picture we're used to seeing. While we may not be as bad as either of those two brothers, we're not exactly going to give Mother Teresa a run for her money, are we? What if I told you that that's not the kind of saint God is looking for? What if I told you that you were already a saint? As you sat there this morning with your happy face or your sad face or your grumpy face, with your good or your bad attitude, What if I told you that, yes, like it or not, agree or disagree, you're a saint already? You see, at least in the biblical sense, we are all saints. Every single last one of us. The simple act of being baptized, of being set apart by God, of being made holy, of having God mark us as God's children, that's what makes us saints. So sit back, polish up your halo, because we're already saints, and don't let anyone else tell you otherwise. The real issue isn't whether we're saints or not. It's what kind of saints we are. And who do we rely on to tell us how saints are supposed to behave? And to go even one step further, who or what is our model of what it means to be a saint? Who are the people that we use as examples of who and what a saint is? What are the qualities we expect in a saint? Now, as Laura was reading this past section of the gospel just a few minutes ago, did any of those words make you uncomfortable? Or am I the only one who squirms as Jesus speaks these words to his disciples? Woe to you who are rich. Woe to you who are full. Woe to you who are laughing now. I don't know about you, but those words make me sit up and take notice. You know, I'm not used to thinking about my life in terms of God's blessings. I like to look at my life, and I like to take credit for where I am, for my place in the community and in this church, right? Don't I deserve to do that? I've worked hard, darn it. I like to take them for granted. I like to think that I'm a self-made man, that I'm where I am in my life because of hard work, because of my talents, because of my abilities. I mean, after all, that's what we're used to hearing from our culture. Hard work pays off. Hard work hard, you'll prosper. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. That's the American way, right? Hard work and perseverance. So Jesus' words kind of catch us off guard this morning and kind of take our breath away. Blessings? God's gifts? You mean we have to give credit to God for what we are and who we are and what we've done with our lives? You mean we owe something back to God for God's blessings? Those aren't always welcome words to our ears or easy words to hear, really hear deep down inside. But his words come to us as a caution. If we allow the world to tell us what it is that makes us into good and successful people, that one of these days it's going to be us who winds up crying. One of these days it's going to be us who are hungry and poor. You know the old saying, every dog has his day? Well, if we let the world define for us what it means to be called a saint, a good person, then chances are we are going to wind up living well below our potential. Jesus' words today of blessings and woe, they're a reminder of our sainthood. Like it or not, we are saints, and we can't do anything about it. And because we've been marked by God in baptism as God's children, because we've been made holy, saint, santo, santos, holy, because we've been set apart for service to God, we're called to live as saints should be. So what kind of saint are you? Now, not that this will come as a surprise to you, but it's not easy being a saint. Saint shoes are pretty big shoes to fill, in case you haven't noticed. And as we read these words from Luke today, that kind of humbles us. And it's easy to just throw up our hands in despair and say, you know what, God, you've got to be kidding. I can't help who I am. I can't just throw everything away. I've got responsibilities. But being a saint is a tough job. But I think the point Jesus is making in his blessings and woes is that we need to stop and take a look at our lives. Stop and look at who our role models are. Stop and look at our priorities. Stop and look at how we spend our time and our money. And most of all, Jesus is trying to get us to ask ourselves some pretty tough questions about the directions of our lives. Are we doing all we can to help people? Do we take the time to stop and remember how richly God has blessed us? How do we respond to God's blessings in our lives? Is it an adequate and fitting response for who we are and what God's given to us? Have we focused too much time and energy in going after the things that our culture tells us are important rather than pursuing the work that God calls us to? Have we set our sights too low, made our dreams too small, and come to expect too little of ourselves and of each other? Or do we step out in faith with our hearts and hands open wide, trusting in God to lead us? Unfortunately, I don't have any answers to those questions. So you're going to have to figure those out for yourself. Only God does. Only God can look beyond what we can see or imagine or hope for ourselves and dream for us a bigger life and a bigger world, a better world, a world where the saints really do live up to their potential, their full calling, living lives of gratitude in grateful response to God's blessings in their lives and in the life of this church. You know the standard saints. St. Jude, right? The saint of hopeless situations. St. Cecilia, as in the cathedral up in Omaha, the patron saint of the church. St. Joseph, the patron saint of fathers and workers. St. Christopher, the patron saint of travelers. St. Francis, we all know St. Francis, the patron saint of animals. You see, all saints are the patrons or guardians of something. And what they are patron saints of comes from how they live their lives. That's just the way it is for a saint. So for you this morning, I have one question, and only one question. And only you can answer that question. Only you know in your heart of hearts the true answer. So look at your life. Look at your passions. Look at where God is calling you to go. And then ask yourself this. What are you the patron saint of? Think about that as you consider your sainthood today. What are you the patron saint of? Patron saint of grumpy people, I'm sorry, I've already taken that position, so you will have to find another one. But seriously, what are you the patron saint of? What does your life speak to and speak about? Amen.